right, you got any thoughts?
Oh, yeah. The first one's a tad dark, and I don't know what I was doing.
It might actually be a good leading into what we're going to talk about.
I don't know. Okay, so it's, did we not take human experimentation far enough? I think this might have been, I might have been watching Deadpool, now that I think of it.
So, okay, so like, do we not allow enough experimentation to be done on humans to advance? This is kind of, I guess, what you're saying. Like, have we, has our unwillingness to risk that or allow that stifled us almost or prevented us from, like, advancing or evolving, kind of?
Yeah, like, have we stretched out maybe the distance that humans can go because we stop pushing the limits on these things? Like, could we create super soldiers?
Have we? I wonder if we, because I do really think that there are people that if they were like, well, I guess that wouldn't do much good. Because I could see it's like the whole, I'm trying to think what movie it was in. Like, oh, Terminator. It was one of the Terminator, the Christian Bale one. They were talking about how they developed like Skynet or the artificial intelligence, and they actually used a woman's brain. She was on death row or she had... No, that's not what it was. Sorry. She is the one that came in to get the Terminator dude's body. Sorry. Anyway, she had cancer, though, but they ended up turning like she was the version... I don't know. I'm conflicting. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is, I think if you had like willing volunteers or, but you would have to have people that were like at a baseline in good health to test what your stuff did. Cause you couldn't have sick people doing it because then you're like, well, we don't know what effect this will have on you or because is it unsuccessful because you're already sick with something or is it just unsuccessful?
Yeah, I guess I really think it probably was when Francis was working on Wade. But he had a terminal illness. He was told that there was something that would cure him. And they pushed his body far enough through experimentation to get that evolution.
Yeah, it's if he had what basically they did was... That was actually not what... He told them that's what it was, but that's not what it was. What they were trying to do was make mutants.
Yeah.
So what it was is he was pumping the chemical in... And if Wade had a genetic disposition toward mutation...
It would latch onto that.
Then, by putting his body through enough stress, it would then trigger his mutation and create him, or, like, turn him into a mutant. So, basically, what they were doing is they had had people come in that didn't have that, and they were just killing a ton of people, because they were only probably getting very few that had the ability for the mutation.
I always thought everybody in there was sick.
No, everybody was, but... Probably 9 out of 10 people in there died because they pumped them all that stuff and then put them to the test.
Their mutation didn't mutate before.
Or they didn't have the ability to even do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're already into this. So we don't need to segue anymore because we're talking about movie villains and Francis was an evil piece of shit.
That he was. He would fit in good. Hopefully, he didn't take a pick. Hopefully, he wasn't on the list. There's going to be a lot of juicy stuff to get in here.
I actually think I got an audible on when I was literally just thinking about it. I'm like, I have to audible.
I didn't give away your pick, did I?
No.
Okay.
You want to do the flipping of the...
Oh, yeah. We got same categories as the hero, one-on-one. We got action villains, comedy villains, kids villains, scary villains, and the fantasy adventure villains.
All right. I actually have to change my first one. I'm audible in. All right, go ahead and flip it, then I'll write it down. Call it.
Tails.
Okay, you go first, though, because it's my pick.
All right, so my 1-1 for villains, I'm going John Voight and Anaconda.
Is he Cajun? Or what's the accent? I'm trying to...
It was Cajun.
Or was it his? Was it his attempt at like a South American type?
Yeah, John Voight doesn't really play good characters other than just John Voight.
I'm trying to think of the dude. He was so fucking creepy.
Yeah, the way that they found him, the way that his boat had run ashore, mm-hmm. and then he hitched a ride.
Well, just his attitude toward him and everything, and then like. Yeah, there's certain... They made so many sequels to that movie, but there was, like, certain parts of that movie that were just like, what the fuck? Like, where they have to puncture the guy and give him a tracheotomy.
When he swallows the bug and they have to open because
he put the wasp in his air tank, remember, to get him out of the way. The fucking part that I always remember about that movie was after the fucking snake eats John Voight, and then right when it gets up to, like, Jennifer Lopez, it yaks him out, and he winks before he fucking dies. Yeah.
You got those animatronic anacondas that were just crazy big. And for the longest time, I thought that anacondas were like that size. And it scared the shit out of me.
They're huge, dude.
They are.
Dude, for some reason, I've been getting a lot of anaconda shit on my reels. And, like, people, like, when they come upon them, just seeing them, like, lay there. Like, they don't get aggressive. No. They're just, like, laying there. And they're, like, the ones that have eaten... They'll just follow them and you'll be like, how long is this fucking snake? And they're huge.
And then you see the bump in their stomach and it was a fucking like mule deer or something like that. But just his whole character and the way that he treated everybody, you knew that he was kind of the snake from the beginning. Mm-hmm. You knew not to trust him. You knew that whatever he was going to pull, he didn't have good intentions. And he just kept going down
further. It's not that surprising because John Voight's pretty fucking crazy in real life.
Yeah, and that's... I think he fit that role perfectly. Oh, like, he's... the one that I would think would play that so well. Just kind of that greasy, underhanded dude that gave Ice Cube and J-Lo a run for their money. Oh, which, another great leading pair. And that was young Ice Cube and young J-Lo.
Does before Daddy get care?
Wasn't that Eddie Murphy?
In what?
Daddy Daycare.
Ice-T is, or Ice Cube is Road Trip, isn't he? Or
yes.
Are we there yet?
Are we there yet?
That's what it is. God damn it, I can't keep a franchise straight.
Satchel Paige.
I can't keep those money grab franchises. All right. Do you remember in GoldenEye?
Odd Job, wasn't it?
No.
No, it was, that's the game. He was in the game.
Yes. Do you remember the
lovely Pierce Brosnan, lady? Yes.
Yes. Do you remember the lovely lady that worked for, like, the 006, like, the bad guy? Oh, come on. This has got... I'm going to say it, and you're going to be like, oh, yeah. Remember the chick that would kill guys while she was fucking them? She would squeeze them, like, to death? Xenia on a top.
Oh, I don't remember.
You're not remembering this?
I haven't seen GoldenEye since probably... the first time I saw
it. So it was...
Pierce Brosnan wasn't my favorite Bond.
No. Do you remember the X-Men franchise? Like the one with the one that started with like Hugh Jackman?
Yeah.
Okay. So Hugh Jackman, I'm trying to think. It was who was... Sorry for the clicks. I'm trying to pull something up. Let's see. Let's see if I'm even still in the Xenia. Oh, there we go. Xenia on top kill. You gotta recognize this, man. She does it to, like... I think she does it to, like... She does it to some, like, Russian general. And then she tries to do it to Bond in the shower right there. Look, with the robe on.
Yeah, she looks like...
And then she tries to do it... The crazy bitch tries to do it in the jungle after fucking jumping down on the helicopter. Oh, and see this one down here on the side where she looks like she's... having an orgasm when she's in the military outfit? Yeah. That's where she's gunning down all the scientists.
That's not what an orgasm looks like, is it?
For her, it looks like.
Okay. Maybe I just don't know what they look like. She kind of has a little bit of like an Anne Hathaway vibe to her.
Look at that.
Yeah, she's... Yeah,
yeah,
she's
you great. Wouldn't you wouldn't see it coming.
She wasn't octopus. She didn't have a name like Octopussy, that's for sure.
There's one of the poor guys... God bless her. No, but that was like, I remember seeing that for the first time, and all I could think about was, so my family had watched a lot of Bond movies. Like, that was kind of one of our things growing up, so mm-hmm. I had seen them from a young age. And when I think this one came out, there had never been, like, this kind of thing in James Bond. And this was, of course, the first one with Pierce Brosnan, so no one knew what kind of level they would take things to. When this first came in, the first scene is of her doing this, like, naval commander, and her job is really to go and kill him and get, like, his key card and everything. And so they're doing it, and then he just, like, she wraps him up, just crushes him with her thighs.
It felt like Bond always had a hench woman, but never, like, a full-blown
never one with this skill set.
No, not that special skill set.
All right. And then who'd you go with for your honorable mention?
My honorable mention, this one was chalk for me, and just because I think he was the best one to ever do it, and it was Heath Ledger as a Joker.
Yeah, I'll respect that.
His Joker was otherworldly. I mean, it killed him, but that's how good it was it killed him.
See, and here's the thing that's kind of unfortunate, is that, like, he almost needed, and I know everyone says that movie is the best, and I actually think, hot take, I think the new Batman overall is a better Batman, but I think the better character is the Joker.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that, like, I think if you could have got, what's weird to say, I think if you almost could have got, like, Pattinson's Batman, who was, like, the analyzer of the crime scene and, like, kind of, like, the tortured dude, and had him with Heath Ledger's Joker, because Heath Ledger's Joker was more, like, that gritty, like, grimy guy. I think that that would have been the matchup. But no, I think, like, hands down, that's a good pick.
Do you think if Heath Ledger was alive, he would have locked down Joker for probably anything? Like, he would have been the origin Joker.
Yeah, I think they were going to... They had plans that he was going to be part of the third one somehow. And I want to say it wouldn't have even been in, like, a huge, huge capacity. But when Bane was going to, like, release him... Oh, maybe he actually was going to be someone that Bane didn't release. But he was going to be in the third movie to some degree. Like, he breaks out or something like that.
Yeah, that would have been great.
But maybe the whole, you know, this is kind of, I don't know if this is morbid to say or anything like that, but maybe it's best that that's his only performance at that character. I'm not saying that, like, it's good that he died after that, but that was such a good performance that I think anything, it would have been unrealistic to expect him to exceed that. And then people would have been like, that wasn't as good this time.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was so methodical with what his practice.
Yeah, it killed him, like, to a degree.
Yeah, well, that and probably Brokeback Mountain, one of the two. But it just, his character was so good. And jumping in and out of the universe is, like, I don't think he wouldn't have replaced Jared Leto in...
No, because that's a whole nother...
Yeah, it's like another universe where that happens. And Jared Leto played that character, like, to a T. He was excellent in...
I don't know.
You don't think that... Just that kind of iteration of him being, like, the glitz and the glamour and the doing things without thinking...
I think... Okay, so I'm not saying that he was a bad Joker in that world. I think my thing with certain characters is that, like, I have a picture of them in my head. My favorite iteration of them in my head.
Yeah.
And so when they do them in movies, when they never hit it, I'm always hoping that the next one is going to be that iteration. So, like, my iteration that I would have always loved to see is the Joker, and there's a lot of it that, like, floats around, is I think, like, Willem Dafoe would have been, like, an amazing Joker. Ooh. Because, like, there's been mock-ups of him. I'll, here. We were, just so everyone knows, we're in a different place doing the podcast. We're over at actually my house.
We got some new technology.
We're playing with some stuff. So
we traded in shoes for a much larger screen.
I like the studio, though.
Yeah.
That's not so, how you, is Defoe?
D-E-F-O-E.
D-E... Oh, shit. Yeah, okay.
So... His character in Boondock Saints almost feels like it would have been a perfect Joker in and of itself. Like, if he had gone more mad and not worked for, as a detective.
Oh, it was like, if you want to ever, like, kind of get an understanding of what, like, he might be for, like, attitude, it would almost be like a combination. I always imagine it as a cross between, sorry about the clicking again, guys, it makes that sound when I try to search. Would be, imagine his Boondock Saints character put together with his Green Goblin from Spider-Man.
Yeah, which like was that kind also of like a very great Spider-Man.
But like, look at that, even without just like prosthetics.
Yeah, dude,
it's just so fucking crazy. So that's what I always imagined them if they were gonna do, especially an older Batman like they did with like Ben Affleck. I always expected them to do like an older Joker like Willem Dafoe. So I guess that's why maybe Jared Leto was a little bit of a letdown on that. But I'm not.
I can see that.
I'm not crazy about that one. I went with Hans Landa.
Yeah.
Like, is it just that guy? Because he is insanely like, how do you like to hate someone? Like a lot of people, or like, I don't know if that's even the right way to describe it. So Hans Landa is the SS colonel from Inglourious Basterds. And he's played by Christopher Waltz.
It's not like you like him. It's just like you appreciate how well he plays the character.
That's what it is, I think.
Like, it's when I think about wrestling, you can appreciate good heel work.
Yes. So like, he's so good at it. You're just like, I appreciate how much you're able to make me dislike you right now.
Yeah.
Like, you're doing such a good job at it. But you're so just like, yeah, he's like so clever and methodical. And like, he's like, it's like threatening without being threatening. And then he'll just murder someone.
Yeah. And you almost respect the way that he can just hit those certain nerves that you didn't think that you were going to feel going into the movie.
Like, I love the part where he captures Brad Pitt and, what's the guy, BJ Novak,
mm-hmm.
from the theater and takes them as an interrogating them. He's leaving all the other guys with the bombs and everything in place.
Yeah.
And he's talking about, like, he's like, that's a bingo. Like, you just say bingo. But that whole part where he's just describing what's going to happen, he's like, over there is a very capable radio operator who can get someone on the line. And he's just talking about what he wants when he retires.
Yeah, it's like he's theatering it up a little mm-hmm. bit. His theatrics during the whole thing, his hand movements and everything are just so on point.
Of course, the very beginning where he goes and he's talking to, like, the French farmer about like hiding the Jewish mm-hmm. family and everything, and just how you don't know what to make him of as the character. And then all of a sudden he just pulls the German soldiers in and he's like, kill them all.
Yep. You love to hate him.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one. That's very good.
All right. We got comedy villains. So you had mentioned, you went first last time, so I'll go first this time.
Okay.
You had mentioned when we were doing the comedy heroes, you mentioned someone, and I was like, I don't realize how I didn't think of... I think I even mentioned it. Like, I don't realize, like, Adam Sandler's characters are actually heroes.
Yeah.
But the villains in his movie stand out. So I went with... now that I'm thinking about it, so a couple of them would have even worked. You could have Shooter McGavin.
Yep.
I went with Eric.
Yeah, you Billy just Madison. Took my honorable mention.
Did I really?
Yep. Yeah, that's the first ever pick steal in this.
Ooh. But, like... all I think of is, like, my only defense should be, like, Eric, you're going to give the company to Eric? He's a bad man.
When they're sitting at a dinner with everybody and he said they're making faces.
He's like, skitty, skitty, skitty. Yes.
No gibberish at the table, Billy.
Please, Billy, no gibberish. He fucking bribes the goddamn janitor to try to come give him information.
Yeah, dude, just the whole...
He's
rat-faced. Everybody hates him. Carl, his buddy, Carl, the one that works directly with him, mm-hmm. is always hanging out with him, just fucking hates him, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when your own guy hates you, when your own... the guy that you have to work with is, like, he's terrible. I want Billy to succeed so I don't have to hang out with Eric shit. Anymore.
No, and then he ends up, like... I always remember the part where he gets shoved over. I was like, do you guys see that guy's balls? He's like, yeah, they were weird. But the fact of how he, like... So, like, Brad Whitford is, like, a really good actor. Like, this is going to sound weird, but he's the dad from Get Out, isn't he? He's the white dad from Get Out.
Is he?
Yes. That's him.
He aged differently.
Yeah. Huh. But, I mean, like, just the fact that, like, he's in a high school auditorium, and he fucking pulls a gun on Billy, and then, like, fucking Steve Buscemi... shoots him in the ass. It's like, man, am I glad I called that guy.
He crosses Billy off his people kill list.
It's and just, his name's Robbie. Somebody's like the one that attended Nib High School in 1984. He's like, yeah. He's like, hey, man, this is Billy Madison. I just like to say, I was really rude to you and me, and I'm just really sorry about that. He's like, oh, don't worry about it, man. Puts on the lipstick, kids. Crosses him off the kill list. Oh,
he was just solid across the board. He every scene that he was in, he was always up to something, or he was always when he's
sorry doesn't put the Triscuit crackers in my stomach. That doesn't, Carl.
When he's moving them along the desks and he's shoving the pencil through his eyes.
I love the part where he's fucking sitting there and he's like, hey, I'd like some reading material, Tubby. It's like, how about the 1974 edition of Wrestling World? There's an amazing article here on a guy named the Revolting Blob. With this guy, going around
his head.
Yeah, this guy going around sitting on everyone out each time to get his teaching degree. Oh, he's an evil piece of shit and he gets what he deserves.
Yep, he always does. All right. Shot in the ass.
All right, who do you got?
All right, I'm going to scramble an honorable mention. I went kind of the same vein, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention this movie in Heroes or Villains. But I have Rob Lowe and Tommy Boy. Mm-hmm. Can't beat Paul. The motherfucking just all-around bad guy ends up running into the worst luck ever. The first scene that just immediately jumps to mind is probably one of his first scenes when they're out there cow-tipping, and Tommy falls into the mud and they're spraying each other off, and Tommy is freaking out and he's dancing in and he's spraying off his boots and he says something to him and he goes, these boots cost more than your life.
Oh, and then he ends up being, wife says it's her stepson or her son, right?
Yeah.
Because Billy thinks that, or not he's Billy, new, Tommy thinks Tommy that he's got a new brother. Yeah, that's right.
Just the whole thing with him screwing up all the shipping schedules and getting his shirt sucked up in
the mail slot. Yeah.
And then him trying to shoot the tires out on the trucks and he ends up getting fouled up by the electric seatbelt and he hits the sign and it cuts the dog's leash and then gets attacked by the dog from the car. Like, he gets his comeuppance. Every time he does something shitty, he gets his comeuppance along the way.
And what's hilarious is it's like shticky humor. Mm-hmm. Like, it's always like physical, like humor and torture. Like, at one point, doesn't he, when they're in the test area?
Yeah, in the end, the vehicle, when they're trying to get away.
Yes, he ends up getting like launched on a car over to his seat and it drops like a bag, like a weighted sandbag on his dick. And they're like, take him away, officer.
And you got Dan Aykroyd saying to send him over a bottle of bubbly with some ice so he can ice his nards.
Ice the marbles and get drunk on me. You're a Z. Oh, right. What are we on to? Kids movies?
Honorable mentions.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay. I had a White Goodman from Dodgeball.
Oh, yeah. Nobody makes me bleed my own blood. His whole character in that, are they still going to do Dodgeball 2? Still in the works?
I haven't heard anything about that. All I like think of when I think of White is how you could almost like, he could almost be Tony Perkins. Like, they almost missed an opportunity. Hey, man, talking here.
Let's not shake.
But like, imagine if they would have like just had him be like Tony Perkins, or is it Perkis?
Perkis, yeah.
Yeah, Tony Perkis. That would have been fucking perfect. He was growing up Tony Perkis.
That's a natural transition from that whole entire thing.
But seeing Ben Stiller fucking play the bad guy, just because he gets to go just so fucking ridiculous with it. Everything when he's sitting there jacking off with the pizza and everything.
That whole
entire
scene between that and him carrying the dictionary upside down the stairs, saying he likes to break his mental sweat as well as physical sweat. He's got the air pump to pump up his junk.
Yeah, but it's got like the ball pump on. He just plugs it in and squeezes it. And then he's got the painting of him. He's like, that's me grabbing the bull by the horns. It's business. It's how I handle my business. It's also metaphor. But that really happened. But yeah, going as the villain against the everyman, Peter LaFleur. Trying to stack a team to win the 71st annual Dodgeball Open brought to you by Lumber Liquidators or whatever it was.
On ESPN, the Ocho.
The fact that you get the introduction of Pepper and Cotton and Pepper, arguably the greatest, just...
Yeah, them and the semi-pro team.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys are both right up there. Just the way that Vince Vaughn only cares enough to beat Globo Gym and keep his business. Like, he doesn't want his business to be great or big or anything like that. He just wants to knock White off, and that's all he wants to do. He has no other aspirations beyond that. Him pulling the old bait and switch and taking the money and then talking to Lance Armstrong before Lance Armstrong was found to be a cunt.
Thank you, Lance Armstrong. Well, listen, everyone was fucking doping in the tour.
Yeah.
Do you realize, like, when they fucking went back and tested everybody, the first guy they found that hadn't tested was somewhere, like, within, like, 18th place to 24th place.
Yeah.
So, Lance was just the best at it.
Have you seen his 30 for 30?
No.
Watch his 30 for 30, and then you'll understand. His hubris is incredible.
I feel like his advancement of research and fundraising for cancer, yes, when you boil it down, listen, the thing he's known and not and disliked for is the fact that he tried to be the best by any means necessary at riding a fucking bike. I'm not discrediting and saying it's easy to do, but what I'm saying is that is something that is just entertainmently enjoyable. The fact that he raised all that money for testicular cancer and just cancer awareness, that in itself, he didn't murder anybody. And he's done a lot more than he's done good in society, so...
Yeah, Live Strong is definitely a wash for just his arrogance and the way that he
If we're at the pearly gates and I'm looking at Lance, I'm like, get in here.
Yeah.
Get in here. Come on, buddy. I'd make
the caveat, though, that he couldn't get his nut back in heaven. He's still only...
No, I'm giving it back.
No,
be like, hey, someone's been waiting for you. And the gate opens, and it's just a Tesco with a tiny little halo over it floating out to you, and it just merges right back into your sack.
Is it Cheryl Crow? She's not going to make it here.
Mm-hmm. And as you see it, it's just wonderful music, joyous music. And all right, who'd you go with?
Seeing as I had to pivot away from Eric, I'm going with Harry and Marvin Home Alone.
I'll give you the twofer, because they're such a tight team.
Even if I have to, I'll just take Marv. Because Marv is the dumbest sack of shit ever. Or Harry. No, it's Marv.
No, yeah. Marv is Pesci.
No, Marv is...
Harry.
Yeah, when he's walking up the stairs trying to find Pesci.
That's right, yep.
Yeah, so Marv, it is, yeah. Marv. Marv is the worst criminal ever.
God damn it, Marv, yep.
Make sure that they write it down that we're the sticky bandits.
S-T-I.
Two is probably better than one, but if I get the whole franchise, I feel like it's...
I feel like when I was younger, I felt two was better than one, but looking back on it now, I feel like one is probably better.
My two defining things to say that two are better than one is the first one, Marv takes the BB gun to the testicles and the ass and then the face. And in the second one, I feel like the stapler is much funnier, just the way that they portray it and the way that it shows the slow motion.
If we're going off strength of attack of the house booby trap scene, I think... actually, hold on.
The bricks have to be bar none. Suck brick, kid. But when he's first dropping them down and Harry keeps ducking them and Marv keeps taking them in the dome, that is one of the funniest scenes in all of movies.
Like, he's dead.
Yeah. Oh, the first one would have killed him by far, but he still took two more.
All right. We are going to kids. I feel like I was able to have a lot more fun with the kids villains than the kids heroes.
There's so many. I think it's me. You stole my number one, so I'm going to go ahead and move that to my honorable mention. And I'm going to go...
Wait, how do you know I stole your number one? I haven't said one yet.
We were talking about it just a second ago.
What?
White Goodman.
That's your Perkis. That's your kid's movie?
Heavyweights. Tony Perkis.
Oh!
Yeah. So I'll save that for honorable mention. I'll just go ahead and move up a personal favorite as a child, Val from Brink. That
I will, yeah, I'll say something about this. When you're able to introduce me to somebody as a villain, and no matter what character they play going forward in their career, I always see them as that guy.
Mm-hmm.
So you did a good job playing that villain. You were good.
Always the biggest punk.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they were like teenage rival roller skating gangs, which sounds like the least scary thing that there is.
Well, I mean, there weren't gangs. I mean, Val's team was sponsored by X-Blades, Team X-Blades.
And then Team Pup and Suds.
Well, Team Pup and Suds wasn't a real thing, really. They were soul skaters, you see. And then they only created Team Pup and Suds in order to compete in the tournament or with the contest. And then, listen, like, who wasn't inspired? I'm not going to lie to you. That movie alone easily got me into a solid 8 months of rollerblading.
I think I might have bought some, but I never did it.
I was wearing corduroy, like, baggy jeans, the ones that went over your boots and everything. Yeah. I was trying to grind on stuff, like grind rails, without the skates you have to have. Like the you know, grind. Like you buy the ones like the rollerblade brand from Walmart.
Yeah.
Yeah, those don't have the place to grind.
They don't have where you're supposed to get the space. Bottom.
No. No. You ever try to grind and metal hits plastic or it catches the fucking rubber on the wheel? It just stops.
I do remember too, just with skateboarding and with rollerblading, nobody understood quite when you were that young, like what a good edge was to try to grind.
Oh, I was like trying to do it on like a curb.
Yeah.
Like you don't
understand that it has to be like smooth concrete or like a metal rail or anything like that. So every time you jump up to do it, you were eating shit every single time.
I'm not even fucking kidding. I look back on some of the stuff that like I tried to do and I try to imagine doing it now. And I'm just like, I don't think my body would like ever work that way. We would build, like, ramps and try to, like, jump over, like, a 5-foot fence. Like, one of us would tow the other on a bike, get speed, and try to jump over. Because of fucking Brink. I'm not even joking to you. And, like, we would never make it over this fence. Like, your skates would catch at the bottom where you just go into it. But you'd do it, like, 10 or 15 times in a row.
Yeah. And you never suffered, like, an actual injury from that?
No. Not to my knowledge.
You were elastic enough to make that
happen. Oh, God, you're made of fucking rubber when you're that age. God, that was a good one. I would have also accepted the dude from... Who was the bad guy? The fucking ski dude from Johnny Tsunami.
Oh, the...
Like the private school kid. Or he was like,
wasn't he a skier, though?
Yeah, and that's Johnny what it was.
Was a snowboarder.
Yeah, which, like you know what? Listen, I don't like what that movie did because not everyone who skis is a fucking douche. And that movie really pigeonholed ski people, made us all look like a bunch of assholes.
The closest I ever get on snow is sledding. 6'6 is too tall to figure out the
leverage. I was thinking about something like this the other day. I started, like, I was going up the stairs, and I was leaning forward to, like, push myself off the next stair up. And I was like, oh, yeah, tall people can't do this. And then I started thinking about it, too. I'm like, oh, wow, like, I'm close enough to the ground. Like, I'm not, like, short. I'm, like, 5'9".
Yeah.
But I'm a lot closer to the ground than you are. And I'm like, that's what makes sense about all these guys in the NBA falling, why it's such a risk when they fall. I'm like, they're falling from so much higher than I'm falling from.
A big tree fall hard.
Oh, yeah. And they got more weight. Gravity's going to take you down harder.
And just in any scenario, your head's just that much further. If it's only another foot further from the ground, that's still a...
How much swing do you have? If you're going forward, that's more time to pick up speed to swing your head into the pavement.
You get me on a sled or a tube, I'm a sledding son of a
I'm
bitch.
I'll only get you on a tube because it's soft.
And you get a good bounce when you go
that's over what, jump with That's it. What I'm talking about. All right. So that was your honorable mention, right? Or was that your...
No, that was my first kids.
How did I already get through my two?
Yeah, oh, they're your kids.
That was your... Wait, who did... Oh, you picked Tony Perkis.
No, I picked Brink, and Tony is going to be my honorable mention.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm glad we've squared that away. Do you remember the movie? They just redid it a few years ago, but there was an original one called The Witches. Where they would, like, turn the kids into mice. like all the women looked normal and everything like that, but then they would like take off like their disguises and there were these like hideously grotesque witches. I like having the TV here to search on because then I could just pull something up. Reference point. Your girl Anne Hathaway.
Yeah.
She played in the remake, but the remake was horrible.
And this is a kids' movie called The Witches?
Yeah, so these witches would like capture these kids and they would turn them into mice. But in the process of turning them into mice, they would like somehow capture like their essence to stay young. Okay, that's the remake right there. And so that's the remake. This is the original. So Anne Hathaway is in this one. And then I'm trying to think of her name. It's Angelica Houston.
Yeah.
So that's what the witches look like in that one. That's what the old one was. So
Both of them are creepy as all get out.
A kid, when they're in, so they're at this witch meeting right now. And they all start taking off like their disguises and everything. And that's what a bunch of them look like. And then there's
Holy shit. I read the book. It's a Roald Dahl book.
Is it?
That's what the bottom right one says.
Oh, yeah.
Because this sounds familiar. I remember them taking their masks off at the party. Okay.
So this movie fucking haunted me. Like, this is one of those movies that I was like, I think people thought this was supposed to be a kid's movie, but I'm like, that's fucking terrifying.
That's nightmare fuel. That is, yeah, that's unsettling as an adult. That's
fucking crazy. I'm just going to leave it up there.
Let's not.
Okay.
Maybe the Anne Hathaway one. Maybe just click on that. You can look at Anne for a little while. Yeah, I'll even take that one.
Ew. No, let's just get off that page.
Yeah, that seems like a better idea.
All right.
So, my honorable mention, like we talked about, Tony Perkis. Maybe number one for me as far as, like, kid villains, because he's the antithesis of everything that a camp counselor should be. And the whole idea of the movie where the kid misses the bus and ends up running after the bus, and then they try to get him into camp, and then he finally realizes after seeing everything that it's a fat camp. He shows up, he's having the time of his life, and then Tony Perkis buys out the...
From his parents. I think those are his parents.
Were they?
In real life, yes. I think so.
Oh, yeah, no, Jerry Stiller is Ben Stiller's dad.
Yeah, but I think that's also his mom.
Was too?
Yes, huh. I believe so. But yeah, it's hilarious. Like, and as when that's another one of those movies that you watch when you're young, and you're watching it through your point of view is through Jerry's eyes.
Oh yeah,
because you're that age and everything like that. And then as an adult, you get to watch it, and you're watching it as an adult watching this camp, and you're like, that guy's a fucking like monster. But you just think it's funny as a kid. You're like, they've got him in a cage, and I'm just like.
Yeah, well, in the whole scale incident where he gets the kid on the scale and he weighs up and he's like 3 pounds and he goes, anybody else weighs in heavier, we're going to cancel lunch or whatever. And the next
lunch has been canceled due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
Goldberg gets on the scale. He goes, get on the scale.
And get off the scale.
Get off the scale.
Oh, my God.
Who is your honorable?
I went with... Voldemort.
Solid. I'm just gonna ask during the Heroes one, is it like sacrilegious to think that maybe Dumbledore and
do you just want me to start naming off characters?
No, the one from Lord of the Rings.
Oh, Gandalf.
Yeah, do you think Voldemort and that they ever hung out? You think Gandalf and
No, because I don't think Dumbledore was that old. Did you know that they tried to get him to play?
He would have been great.
He would have. He was just like, I can't do another franchise right now. He's like, I'm doing X-Men. I'm doing Lord of the Rings. He's like, I can't do it. Well, but he would have been awesome.
He died during Harry Potter, didn't he?
No, that was Richard Harris. That's who. That was your boy Marcus Aurelius from Gladiator.
Yeah.
Yeah. He played him in the first two movies, I think. All right, so this was one that we were kind of like the category that we were thinking about ditching before we
nothing else on it. Voldemort.
I mean, he's Voldemort. He's an evil wizard, and
has
a weird nose. I went between two. I went between Voldemort and then Gaston from Beauty and the Beast. So, yeah, like, Gaston, so, like, you know, Beauty and the Beast, Beast lives in the castle, he's cursed. Belle gets kidnapped by him, technically, and held prisoner. So there's that whole creepy thing about it. But anyway, they fall in love with Gaston is the one that, like, that's, like, thinks Belle should be with him, and he's, like, the hunter in the village. He's, like, the village stud and everything. All the other women are like, oh, Gaston. And so he gets everyone together to go kill the Beast. Well, he ends up getting killed by the Beast. But he's he's literally like the biggest Disney bro.
Is he?
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen this one.
Who'd you go with for, or my first for horror villains?
I think you're first.
All right.
Because I fired off Andy Brinker.
Oh, that's right. We're going to go with Pennywise from It, or just It. But I think probably the... I'm trying to think, what would he call it? It's his, not disguise, but like his character of Pennywise. Because he can be any, like it can like take on any shape that it wants.
Yeah.
It just chooses.
Well, none of the other characters in It launched like a mass hysteria in the general public.
Yeah, like, do you think that the whole thing about like creepy clowns came out of that, or that creepy clowns inspired that? Because the clown technically in it, when it was Tim Curry in the original one, you didn't really like... The creepiest part about it is when like the teeth would get sharp, the eyes would roll back and everything. I remember seeing that as a kid and just being like, oh, so clown... That was like... That probably wasn't my introduction to clowns, but I didn't know good clowns well enough at that point. So I saw that and like, no. So I guess it's fuck clowns for my life then, right?
Yeah, I would argue that...
That probably ruined an entire generation of people for clowns.
Yeah, well, that or John Wayne Gacy, one of the two. I think Pennywise might have been worse for the clown image than John Wayne Gacy. And John Wayne Gacy killed many boys.
That's true. And then have you watched the new It?
Yeah.
Okay, did you see both? I haven't seen chapter 2 yet. I haven't
seen the second one.
I haven't either. And every time, and the reason I haven't seen it, and I don't care if this makes me sound like I'm fucking scared, but anytime I get the free time to watch it, it's at night. And if I'm smoking, I wouldn't just watch it by myself at night anyway.
No.
That doesn't sound like a good time to me. Mm-hmm. About an hour and a half of just sitting there trying to act like I'm not bothered by this doesn't sound fun.
With your butt cheeks clenched the entire time.
And then if I'm smoking during that time and things take a turn for the worse, I'm just like, this was a horrible idea. So maybe I just won't watch the second one. But I did watch the first one, and it was, even as an adult, it was pretty unsettling.
I feel like just the first one kind of filled my it hole. Like, I don't know if I need a second round of it.
They win. Either one. In either movie, they win.
Yeah.
Do I need to see Bill Hader that bad? Maybe one day I will.
I got enough good Bill Hader stuff.
All right, who'd you go with?
I went with Rusty Nail from Joyride.
Is he...
Steve Zahn, Paul Walker.
Yeah, he's... what's his call sign?
Rusty Nail. His is, and there's just Candy Gay.
That's right. That's... who is that guy? He's got one of the most... It's the guy that played Buffalo Bill on Silence of the Lambs.
Was it?
Yes. It's that guy with that voice. Oh, God, what is his name? Sorry about that. That was loud.
I'll find it here.
Oh, yeah. Just look up Silence of the Lambs. All right. It is... I hear him talked about on some other podcasts. Like, he gets brought up. Where is this guy, man?
Yeah, it's crazy. He's not DB in the cast, really, it looks like.
No, he's not. He's literally the fucking villain. Killer. I want to say, did he just recently pass away? I don't. Oh, there he is, Ted Levine.
Oh.
Because his name is Jamie Gum or something like that. Here. There you go.
Yes.
Yes, that's him.
That is
it. You have no idea the hell I can bring you.
And the hotel scene when they're staying at the hotel and they give him the wrong.
I was talking about Silence of the Lambs. You're talking about Joyride?
Yeah. When they give him...
Because they're faking like they're a girl, right?
Mm-hmm. It's Steve Zahn that's playing with him, acting like he's a girl.
That's
and
right.
Going back and forth with him. And then they tell him they're going to meet him up at the hotel. And they intentionally transpose the numbers on the hotel rooms.
Oh, and he breaks in. He sees something and he kills the people in the room, right?
Kills the fuck out of them and then leaves. And ends up chasing them around and chasing them down to the end of that road where he blasts through the ice truck to get to him.
Mm-hmm.
Just wall to wall, he's the freakiest guy. And that voice just Candy Gay.
Yeah.
Just so creepy. And truckers probably don't get enough credit for some of the stuff that they do.
Listen, or most of it. This is we don't need to apologize to the trucking community for a movie we had nothing to do with.
No, but it definitely wasn't good PR for them, I'm sure.
Oh, God, no.
But I wonder how many people it made either throw away their CB radio or go buy a CB radio.
No kidding.
Just to listen to the crosstalk between truckers and everybody else. Yeah, he was a good villain and a good, scary villain, because just thinking about being on a long car trip like that, running into a situation like that is very frightening.
All right, honorable mention. We're going with... I gotta go with the shark from Jaws. And I know I went with honorable mention for Cheap Rodeo on Heroes, but I don't know if there's been a villain out there that's had a bigger impact on more people. Like, I don't know if I... So, like, when you're... Even when you're out in, like, a reservoir or a lake... I get an uncomfortable feeling, like being out in like the deep water, not knowing what's down there. I don't know if I'd never seen Jaws or Jaws never existed. Maybe other shark movie attack movies wouldn't have existed. Probably be some, because there are real shark attacks in real life.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if seeing that at a younger age contributed to that feeling of like not knowing what's down below me. It has to a degree. And even if it does a little bit, then that's done more than any, like, horror villain or anything that I've ever seen in my life.
It's that weird little feeling that you get in the back of your mind when you're, like, swimming and you know that you can't feel the bottom and you're just kicking against water, that there could be anything down there coming to get you. Yeah, that's a hair-raising feeling. Just thinking that...
Oh, the shark's name is Bruce.
What the fuck did the shark have a name?
That's what they named the animatronic shark. Its name was Bruce.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha. Bob's Burgers does kind of a funny riff off of that. That's pretty good. They have a shark that it was the shark from Jaws that they bring to the amusement park that's down on the wharf.
Mm-hmm.
And they turn it on and it gets loose and it starts attacking through the wharf and trying to kill people and chase it down. And Bob and the family have to get rid of it. Pretty solid. But yeah, it transcends like everything. I don't think there's probably one place that has a beach or is on the beach in like a gift shop that doesn't have like a Jaws themed some kind of trinket or something that you can get.
Yeah. There's an entire big wave at Hawaii named Jaws.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
Like a section.
I'm sure everything along the California beaches all has the same thing. Or you see that the outline on the movie poster was everywhere.
It literally two notes. Doo-doo. Doo-doo.
Yeah, it kind of has its own score.
Doo-doo. Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely had the effect probably more than anything.
I think I might want to flip those. I'm going Jaws 1.
Yeah.
Pennywise 2.
You make that.
I still fucking hate clowns, though.
That's never going to go away.
All right, who do you got?
For our last topic, or for our last...
Who was your honorable mention
for? Oh, honorable mention, Chucky.
I switched mine.
The demonic doll and seeing...
Again, from a young age, right?
Oh, yeah.
You were the age when you should have a doll. So everything in your room became a fucking threat to murder you.
Well, I think it's in the beginning credits when they're showing how it's made, when the person gets murdered in the factory and the blood drips down into the plastic.
Yeah, it's where they chase the guy who possesses, and his name is Charles something, isn't it? And yeah, it's where he gets chased in there, and I think he's murdered people, obviously, because he's very comfortable with it as a doll.
Yeah.
But yeah, very they chase him in there and they kill him, and he was wearing like there was some voodoo shit that was involved, and that's what trapped his soul in the doll. But yeah, I remember like just the ways that he would like slash under a bed and like cut someone's like fucking Achilles and shit.
He's popping out of closets all the time, or when he's laying in the back seat and pops up and throws the bag over the dude's head.
And how strong is this fucking doll?
He was possessed. He's demonic, but yeah. He does get thrown around quite a bit.
He does, but that's because of the weight. But Jesus Christ, is he like proportionally, if he was that small, that would, so my child is that small and he is not strong enough to hold a bag over my head.
I pray to God he's not. Let's not find out.
No, but like, and yeah. I think the biggest thing too is like when you, if you were like of a normal age to watch that movie, because it's rated R, so they don't expect, you know, they expect people to watch it, but like, hey, don't watch this if you're under 17 or whatever. As a kid, you would see it, and
yeah, dude, I might have been like 10 when I saw that. Because they always did the reruns on like USA Network.
Yes, it was very readily, like for the month of October.
Yeah.
We're playing Child's Play 1 through 5.
A rated R movie to be on that kind of cable seems crazy now.
All right, man. I got to pee and then we'll jump right back into it.
Okay.
All right. While we take a break from class and take care of some business, you can also take care of some business.
If you don't follow us on Instagram or Twitter already, our Instagram handle is historicallyhighpod. That's historicallyhigh, P-O-D. And our Twitter is historicallyhigh. That's historically H-I.
All right, and back to our show. All right. Are we just going into the last one now?
Yeah, we are down to adventure.
Sci-fi, adventure, fantasy.
Whatever tickles your fancy.
All right, what do you got?
Mine was the Fratellis from the Goonies.
God, that's a good pick.
Not all of them.
You going with Mama Fratelli?
Well, just the three bad ones.
Well, yeah, we're not considering Sloth.
Well, he was a Fratelli, but he was a victim of circumstance, so we're going to clear Sloth's name. He may have
Sloth's
been
a chunk now.
Yep.
Because by the end of the movie, he's like, Sloth, you're going to come live with me? He's like,
I love you, Chunk. Whenever I think of, like, adventure movie, there's... It's vapor. You're good.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
There's nothing...
I'm high.
There's no bigger adventure movie than I can really think of as a kid is watching The Goonies. Like, The Goonies was the ultimate kid dream to find a treasure map.
That's exactly what it was. The Goonies was the fantasy of every kid. Even kids that didn't know they liked pirates. They liked fucking treasure.
Well, yeah, you get into the lore of One-Eyed Willie, where they live in Oregon.
Astoria.
Astoria, yes. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been there?
When I was really young.
Yeah. It's a crazy place, just how much it looks like. It feels like you're in the movie driving around and seeing different things.
I wonder how much of that, because like I'm sure they do get like tourism, like Goonies tourism and everything. I wonder how much of, like, maybe stuff that the guy goes downtown or is in certain areas remains like that on purpose to be like, this is the Goonies house and everything.
This is the setup. This yeah. is kind of to keep that nostalgia.
We're handing out here. This is a iPod that has Cyndi Lauper on it. So you can just listen to that as you're walking around the town.
It just transports you back.
No, like, yeah, it's always, you know what? It's always scary when you look back and think on it and you're like, not only were these people criminals, but they're criminals wanting to kill children. Like, how bad is that?
That had a stiff down in the frozen yogurt freezer. So they had killed, and they were chasing those kids when Mama Fratelli...
Here's the other thing, too. Was that restaurant just closed for the season?
Yeah, probably, because they thought that it was a place where they could go get water.
Okay.
And then they realized that it was closed for the season and the Fratellis were running it. So, yeah, it was probably just like a...
Okay, because I was wondering if that's like a closed-down building, what the fuck are they doing with that much frozen yogurt?
Well, that's very true. I didn't think about it from that angle. And the just the crazy way that she would... Whenever they would corner the kids, she threatened to bite off the one kid's fingers, or when they're at the pipe organ... and they're trying to get to him, and Mouth is sitting there trying to, or the girl is playing it, and Mouth is trying to read the music.
The skeleton key one.
Yeah, and she's screaming at him from across there. Like, when you think of a pirate adventure movie like that, the villain that usually isn't going to be an old Italian lady and her two flopped out Italian sons.
Bumbling sons that just sprung from jail.
And constantly screw everything
the
up.
The Astoria Police Department looks wholly inept at their job. They entered into a 4x4 race on the beach after they escaped. Can't chase them. And then, like, what kind of criminal family is going to, like, stay within, like, the immediate area?
What do you think that... Do you think the last name of Fratelli was intentional? Like, kind of like a mobish...
Oh, yeah. 100%.
A little bit of...
Mama.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
The son singing opera music when he's down trying to feed Sloth and...
Miss Sotomayor.
That poor guy. They get theirs in the end, though. I do love it when she's doing Rockabye Baby with Sloth at the end, and it gets to the cradle will fall, and Sloth freaks out. Toss. You know immediately at that point what happened to Sloth and why he turned out the way that he did.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they dropped you the one time. Well, maybe not. Oh, I kind of stayed along the same vein you did with... the non-threatening, well, I guess in Goonies it was pretty threatening, but I went with the Spaceballs from Spaceballs.
Yeah.
So I had to get them all in there. I had to get President Scroob, Dark Helmet. I mean, they're trying to steal all of the air from Planet Geridia.
Rick Moranis being the little fella under that helmet was just phenomenal.
It's just, again, it's that just Mel Brooks, like, humor, just like shtick humor, like naming guys like Lieutenant Asshole and his brother Sergeant Asshole, and then their brother like Private Asshole. He's like, I'm surrounded by assholes.
John Candy being Barf.
One of the parts in the movie kind of threw me off when I watched it like 3 weeks ago, and it was the part where they're watching Spaceballs the movie to find out where they've hidden. And I had to think about it for a second. I'm like, okay, hold on. So they're filming what they have that camera hooked up to the monitor behind it so they can see. But in the movie, they're watching this live. So I'm like, then what about the future scenes? At what point in the movie was this scene shot? And I went down this rabbit hole, hold far from them. I'm like, I'm not going to understand this. It's probably so simple.
Before you realize that movies are never shot in order.
Oh, man, the first time you realize that.
Yeah.
That's heartbreaking.
Like, yeah. When you know that they film certain scenes, like, all together in one day, and then they just kind of plop them wherever they need to.
I wonder if you love movies, if, like, and then you get into making movies, if it completely ruins your love. I guess it depends on what aspect of it. Like, if you love the storytelling element, you probably love the fact that you get to craft the story. But if, like, you love it for the fact that it immerses you in that world and you get to zone out, and then you get into making movies, are you just like, oh, all the fucking magic is ruined? What do you mean we're shooting, like, the last three scenes of the fucking movie? We're only, like, a week into it. Yeah, but this guy, his hair's long right now, and then he's going to have to start doing this to prep for the next role, and you're just like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore.
Well, I think all the, like, super high-paying professions, like, when you think about athletes and you think about when they talk about being burnt out and all their struggles, and you think to yourself, all you have to do, you get paid to stay in shape. Like, you get paid to do this. Mm-hmm. I think being an actor, and I'm not saying that athletes don't deserve most of the money they get. They deserve to be compensated well for the amount of entertainment they provide. But being an actor and doing, like, 12 and 16 hour days and having to remember your lines and change all the time, and you're on film or on scene location filming for months at a time.
Like, that's crazy too, that like as an actor, part of your job is to inhabit these roles that require you to, like, be in a certain shape. So actors that are always known, and this isn't like fucking like boo-hoo for actors or anything like that, this is just kind of trying to understand, like, an aspect of it. But, like, if your job is to be in shape at all times, yes, the whole point is that's your job. Like, you get a cook, you get a trainer, you're working on doing all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, if your role is to be that, but then also to be a good actor and remember your lines and everything like that, that's just like remembering a playbook and being in, and you're not even utilizing that shape you're getting in and that exercise as part of your role. It's literally just to look.
Yeah.
So you're having to do that without really having to utilize that skill. But at the same time, your actual skill is pretend.
You have to build that instrument and then mm-hmm. know how to play the right tunes out of that instrument. Yeah. In a fantasy world that really, I mean, I guess you can really dive into your roles like a Daniel Day-Lewis, but you're just playing another person. Yeah, but there's
probably a reason. Like, I wonder how much of, like, if you look at, like, method actors, I wonder how much of, like, they're, like, how they respond to, like, a, like, super sci-fi movie with, like, a ton of green screens. So they're not able to almost feel like the only thing that's, like, immersive about the experience is them in their costume. Yeah. And what if they're having to wear like one of those like motion capture suits? How do you become like, so you're an actual like gremlin? Like, yes.
Well, where do you know your points on stage when you're on a green screen? Like what, just that whole,
I think they probably, they probably set the scene around you.
Yeah. I'm glad that you brought that up, because I need to apologize to you for my attacks the other night on Brendan Fraser. I got an ultimate face slap after I was talking down about Brendan Fraser's career. I didn't realize what happened to him.
About the, was it like 2019?
When
President of the Hollywood Foreign Press, or it was like some member of the foreign, or like the head of the foreign press,
yeah,
like made like a sexual advance toward him or something
like that. He molested him. Like, can you be an adult and get molested?
Yeah, anything that you're not wanting is technically
getting molested. I guess age probably doesn't matter on molestation. But yeah, the dude, like, felt him up and, like, treated him like a piece of meat, which seems very odd that it would happen, but then he spoke out against it, and the dude just blackballed him from mm-hmm. anything. And then once all the other revelations came out about the dude, then everybody had to pull the 180. You saw it that same film festival during Spitgate.
Oh, when they give the
standing ovation.
For the whale, yeah.
And Dwayne, The Rock, mm-hmm. got on stage. Or was it on stage or was it a tweet?
When it was a tweet.
Talking about how he brought his career back with the
Mummy. Oh, yeah, the Mummy like, went on the, like, the Mummy 2. Because that was his first role. Because the Scorpion King even came after that.
Yeah,
okay. So his role was just at the very beginning. And then remember, like, the super bad CG when he was, like, built into the Scorpion.
Really bad.
But it also gave, that's what spun off his first solo movie. Mm-hmm. So he's like, I'll never forget, like, you know, what he did for me. That's actually something cool that, like, and trying to end it on a positive and everything. I watched The Mummy, or started watching The Mummy the other night, but, like, it's just those movies, like, his movies were never something you had to think about. You just got to sit there and enjoy it. Like, even back, like, Encino Man and, like, Blast from the Past and everything, his characters were just, like, these just likable guys and everything like that. And he was never like, he's a good looking dude, but he was never so good looking. You're like, no, like, I'd still want to like hang out with that dude.
Yeah. He kind of had a softness about him. Like mm-hmm. He just did kind of seem like an everyman. Like, he threw himself into his roles and played most of them pretty good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't realize that was it. And of course it came out like a day or two after I told you that I had no respect for him after that. So that was nice.
All right, just end it.
Whoa. We still have honorable mentions.
That's what I was going to say.
Oh, yeah.
Before we end it. So, what'd you have?
Probably fits in the same vein, but I have Clyde, Kevin Spacey, and Fred Claus.
Oh, yep. Isn't he the auditor?
Yep. And he had a bad situation where he didn't get his Superman cape from Superman or from Santa Claus, and then stopped believing in him, and it just all went downhill from there. But we go from one rapey guy, I guess, to another rapey guy, and Kevin Spacey. He played, I don't remember if the accusations had to have come out after that, and I remember watching it after.
Yeah, because it was after Horrible Bosses.
It really kind of hit different knowing, like, what kind of a dude he was.
Maybe there's a reason why he played an asshole and, like, a creep so well. Like, even as, like, in House of Cards and everything.
Yeah, he played the role well, and I think it was probably more method acting mm-hmm. for him than anything.
All right, I'm going Captain Hook from Hook.
Again, you're going to have to explain this one to me.
You haven't seen Hook?
No.
You've never seen the Robin Williams Peter Pan movie?
I thought you told me that Hook was a part of Pinocchio.
No. Who's that's the whale. That's in Pinocchio. Hook is the one where Peter Pan is all grown up, and it's Robin Williams. He's an adult now, and he's got kids. And they go to visit, like, Wendy, who was the lady that ran the orphanage, where once Peter... You've never seen Hook. Mm-mm. Dude, you got to go watch. It's awesome. So Peter Pan goes back to Neverland as an adult after Hook, trying to bait him in one more time, kidnaps his kids, leaves a dagger, like, in the wall of the nursery where, like, the original Peter Pan took place, like, when they were kids.
Okay.
And then Tinkerbell is Julia Roberts and shows up and has to get Peter to remember who he is because he buried all the memories. And then she kidnaps him, takes him to Neverland. He slowly recalls who he is. He's the Pan. And then he has to go battle Captain Hook and rescue his kids one more time and lead the Lost Boy. Oh, my God. It's such a good movie.
I've never seen the first one either. Peter and Pan?
It's like a reimagining of Peter Pan.
Yeah, but I've never seen Peter Pan either. So
maybe just watch Hook then.
I don't understand the whole
dynamic of it. Yeah, you got to get on that.
He has a hook?
Captain Hook has a hook for a hand. Peter cut off his hand and fed it to a crocodile.
Oh.
And so, yeah, but he's, Dustin Hoffman.
It's, Rain Man. Nice.
Yeah. All right, who do you got? Did you have deers?
Yeah, I already did. All right. It was Fred Claus.
That's right. All right, man.
This was a light one.
I know.
We're burning the candle at both ends. Oh, yeah. We're burning the blunt at both ends.
That's right. The cross joint. All right, man. Well, thanks, everyone, for joining us. And I guess have a good day, afternoon, evening, night, whenever you listen to this.
Peace.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us for another episode. If you like what you heard, hit that subscribe and like button. Follow us. If you didn't like what you heard, still hit that anyway, because we'll probably cover something in the future that you do like. Please follow us on our social media. Adam, hit him with it.
Our Instagram is historicallyhighpod, historicallyhighpod, and we are on Twitter at historicallyhigh, that's historicallyhi.
All right. And if you guys want to send in any feedback, suggestions, hit us up on those two, or you can even do it on Gmail. It's historicallyhighpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks again.
Peace.